As I said before, it's good to be back. It seems like I've been gone a lot longer than 2 weeks. I have no idea how that works, other than that ongoing relativity of time that we all seem to experience and that seems to increase the older we get. Still not sure what that's all about, but it's common to all of us, so I think it's just part of the human condition. And as I was looking at these texts and as I was thinking about them, As I've told you before, what I do to prepare for Sunday is I read the text, and then the only way I can describe it is I wait for the Holy Spirit to give me some idea of where we need to go with these texts for this Sunday, because these are the same texts we read 3 years ago on this Sunday. And so sometimes I go back and I look at what we did 3 years ago, and it's remarkably similar. But often it's very, very different. And the thing that kept coming back to me about these texts this year was, what do these texts say about dying? And obviously I had no idea that Martin had died the night, just last night. I didn't know that. The Holy Spirit may have moved me in that direction for that very reason. I'm not sure. But as I was looking at these and thinking about them, well, what do they tell us about dying? And we read these stories, and two of our four scripture passages today talk about someone being raised from the dead. And to sort of get things out of the way right away, I mean, everyone who's been raised from the dead, except for Jesus, died again. Perhaps what it tells us is that in the face of death being the worst thing possible, when someone we love dies, there's nothing worse than that. And we need to pay attention to that. We need to grapple with that. We can't ignore it. If we try to pretend it didn't happen, if we try to pretend that it's not as bad as it is, it's really bad for our mental health, as anyone will tell you. We do need to go through the process of coming to grips with that loss. But perhaps one of the things we can take from these texts is the reminder that death is temporary. And when we look at these stories, why they're here, and that's always an interesting exercise, and I commend it to you if you're so inclined, that we look at Scripture and we try to see, why is this story here? This is a story from, in the Old Testament, it's a story from the life of Elijah. Elijah lived a long life. We don't have everything that happened to him. We don't have everything that he did as a prophet. We certainly don't have everything that he did just as a regular person. So why is this here? In our gospel reading, we have the story of Jesus raising the son of the widow. Why is that story there? John, perhaps in a bit of hyperbole at the end of his book, says, at the end of his gospel, says, there weren't enough books in the world to record everything that Jesus did. So why is that there? Well, there's a couple of key things here about why these stories are here that I think are worth at least pointing out and then thinking about, perhaps at another time, or just sort of parking at the back of our minds. At the end of 1 Kings 17, the woman said to Elijah, and this is after her son has been raised from the dead, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth." And when we look at our gospel reading, we see something similar, where Luke records that they were all filled with awe and praised God. Once again, this is after the boy has been raised from the dead. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." Well, there are two things, I think, that we can take from these readings. And the first is that God is so interested in letting people know that he is still intimately connected to us and loves us, that he occasionally transcends what I think we can all say is the natural order of things, and sometimes is even willing to bring life back. And when I look at that, I don't look at it as some people do and say, well, that was a prophet and that was way back then, or that was Jesus and that was way back then. What I see here, because on the one hand we have Elijah demonstrating God's willingness to break into the normal order of things to a single widow. In the gospel reading, we see God breaking in front of many people. What it reminds me of is how much God cared. That God was willing to break into the normal order of things to demonstrate that Elijah was a prophet. That Jesus was a prophet. And for us, prophecy and prophets are sort of foreign to us. But in these two contexts, prophets were the people who brought the word of God and the reality of God to individuals face to face. It was as close as regular people could get to God. And God was willing to do that. And so in a way, that doesn't really say anything about dying. What it does say is it says a lot about God as he demonstrates his power over everything. And what that says about dying is that God's in control of that as well. That's something we don't always want to hear, because it's not unreasonable for us to think that if God is in control of dying, that he should have prevented it in particular times. Martin was 97. He'd lived a long and wonderful life. Sure, there were challenges in there because that's just the way life is, but My interactions with Martin were nothing but pleasant, a wonderful man of God. And I hear that over and over again. Doesn't mean that we're okay with him dying. It's part of what is. But there's at least part of us that says, couldn't it have been a little bit longer? Couldn't it have been a little bit later? Yesterday, Heather and I restated our vows. We married for 25 years, seemed like a good time. That's the second time we've actually redone our vows. The first time we did it at the memorial service for our first daughter. We never met Elizabeth. She was a, what do they call it now, a pregnancy loss. It was as profound a loss for us as it might have been, for anyone, for any time. And knowing that God had control over that, it was hard for us. It was hard for me to not say you could have prevented that. So the other thing I take from these stories isn't that God can do something about death and usually doesn't. It's a reminder that death is temporary, that it's completely under the control of God. And the fact that most of the time he doesn't interfere, and after a life lived, however long that is, whether it's months or decades, isn't up to us. But the comfort we take from it is that it's not the end. It's not the last word. Death never gets the last word. Sometimes God's even said, see, you don't get the last word even here on earth with these two children. And with Jesus himself. Death is the worst thing that can happen, because it ends things on earth in a way that nothing else does. You can have a conflict with a friend or a family member and not talk to each other for a very long time, but there's always the possibility of repairing that. And sometimes we hear people who have done that, who through a conflict of some kind, people severed a relationship, but years later they began to rebuild it. There's always hope. When somebody dies, that's over for this world. But we take great comfort in the fact that even though this relationship, this is over here, it's not over forever. Because death is temporary. Because death, in a very real sense, only affects us, not the person who's dead. The transition of life to death for those who are in that relationship with God, for those who are connected with God, is actually a transition from life to life. From life to better life. And that's what I take from these passages. That's what I take from these two stories, is a reminder that death is subservient to God. That sometimes death is used by God to teach us things through Scripture or through our own lives, but it's never the last word. It's just one of the words. If death was permanent, I think we would be in trouble. For people who live that life, that think that death is the end of all things, that life is here and then when it's gone, it's like a candle extinguished, it's gone. I don't know how you'd get up in the morning, to be quite honest with you. But we know that's not the way it is. And we see in Scripture and we see through the lives of saints and church history that God will occasionally break into this world as a reminder to us that He is the last word. That what we know about dying is that it's terrible for us who are left behind, but it's not the last time we will ever see these people. That life, the true life, continues. Death is an interruption, not an ending. And that God loves us. That God is bigger than all the processes that we know. That there's nothing beyond Him. That sometimes He'll even break in ways that are just beyond our ability to even begin to understand. Because He cares for us. Amen.